the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
All right, we're back here for another episode of the Midwest Swing Podcast. This is the daily podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. We are part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. You can find the network on Twitter at Zone Coverage MN. I am your host, Brandon Warren. And you can find me on Twitter at Brandon _ Warren. I want to thank you for joining us. If you like shopping at Amazon, check out zonecoverage.com/Amazon. Nothing changes for you and your Amazon shopping experience. You can use Amazon Prime, Amazon Pantry, any of the great features that you use on Amazon, and we get a little bit of a kickback. So help support the Cold Omaha Podcast Network, Cold Omaha, and Zone Coverage by going to zonecoverage.com/Amazon. Moving on, we are about to see the Twins open up a 3-game set against the Detroit Tigers. They are getting the full Tigers experience this time around with Justin Verlander facing Hector Santiago this evening on Saturday at 1:10. We will have Matt Boyd against Adalberto Mejia. Mejia was pushed back when the Twins were rained out on Wednesday, so he will get the Tigers this time around. That also does mean the Twins have missed out on Corey Kluber, who is starting this evening against Jose Quintana on the south side of Chicago. On Sunday, they'll wrap up the 3-game set. The Twins will put Kyle Gibson on the mound. Michael Fulmer will be making his start for Detroit. So that's the Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend lineup as the Twins prepare to take on the Detroit Tigers. We won't do too much of a breakdown of the Cleveland series. If you want to check that out, check out yesterday's daily podcast. It was posted late last night as Chris from Cleveland joined Tom and me to break down what was a 3-game sweep of the defending American League champions over the Minnesota Twins. Right now, the American League Central looks like this. Detroit and Cleveland are tied atop the division at 8-7. The White Sox are 7-7, and the Twins and Royals are tied at 7-8. The Royals did make a couple moves today, sending out Paolo Orlando and Raul Mondesi, bringing up Jorge Bonifacio and Matt Strom. So an outfielder and a pitcher coming back up for the Royals. So some interesting things to keep an eye on there. As the Twins get ready to take on the Tigers, Justin Verlander obviously poses a very difficult matchup for the Twins. Is coming off a very difficult start in which he allowed, I believe it was 9 earned runs and 3 home runs against the Indians. So after the Indians took care of business against Verlander, they came into Minnesota and took care of business against the Twins. So obviously the Twins can kind of relate to Verlander's struggle in the last start. But before that, he was rolling pretty good. And the Twins have scored under 2.5 runs per game on this homestand. So it's got potential to be a pretty ugly night for the Twins offense unless they can find their way. Hector Santiago has been great for the Twins, doing a nice job mixing high fastballs and coming at people with different angles, different pitches, and has looked very good so far. So it wouldn't be surprising if this was a low-scoring game if Santiago can stymie the Tigers again. I have to look here, but I believe he pitched against them in the last series as well. Yeah, he was actually pitching against Detroit on the 11th, so it's actually been about 10 days since he's seen them. 2 earned runs and 6 1/3, did take the loss in that game, but a strikeout, a walk, a home run allowed. A fairly Hector Santiago-like game with the exception of strikeouts, though. Kept the damage to a minimum. And so obviously the hope is that he'll do that again here today. On Saturday, again, we did say that the pitching matchup is Matt Boyd versus Adalberto Mejia. Mejia looked fairly good last time out, adding and subtracting from his fastball. I've mentioned that a number of times on a number of different platforms. But against the White Sox last time out at Target Field on the 14th, did go 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts, and 3 walks. And I did think he looked rather good. The slider was good. He was moving it all around, and the fastball again had good velocity when he wanted to go up the ladder with it. And you know, when he brought it down to kind of keep guys off balance, he looked pretty good as well. The Twins have faced Boyd already this year. We're going to pull up his stats as well. Boyd, a left-handed pitcher that is in his, I believe, let's see, probably second season with the Tigers. One earned run against the Indians last time out, three strikeouts, two walks, and six innings. Was very strong against the Twins at Comerica Park on the 11th. Six innings, one hit, no runs, six strikeouts, and two walks. Boyd's got good stuff. He's a fairly good lefty, and beat out Anibal Sanchez and Mike Pelfrey for that last rotation spot, or one of the last rotation spots, based on how you want to handicap Daniel Norris in that mix as well. The Twins will miss out on Norris this time around. Norris, again, very good lefty, came over in the David Price trade, and so the Twins are fortunate to miss him. But Boyd is solid, and you know, he's going to give you a good matchup every single game and every single time out. On Sunday, the Twins have got the defending American League Rookie of the Year in Michael Fulmer. We'll pull his numbers up as well, because I know the Twins faced him early in the season, and that was at Comerica Park on the 12th. Six innings, three earned runs, did give up a home run, seven strikeouts, and a walk. Did get the win in a 5-3 win in Detroit. He has looked fairly good, 3.00 ERA, 212 batting average against, 16 strikeouts in 18 innings against, five walks, a whip of 1.06. So a 24-year-old righty, good slider, pretty good velocity, probably the number two pitcher on this staff after Verlander, although based on money involved, you'd think Jordan Zimmermann would be in that mix, but he has been wholly disappointing through the year plus that he's been on the team. So those are the pitching matchups coming up here for this series. I'll have coverage for you at Target Field from Target Field on Friday, both pre- and post-game Friday. And then pregame on Saturday. Tom will take over pre- and postgame on Sunday. And I believe I'll write a little something up after Saturday's game as well from home. So keep an eye on zonecoverage.com for all your Twins coverage this season. Home games especially, as we'll have bigger write-ups for that. Also, check out Midwest Swing Podcast, the daily podcast. We're going to keep posting things every day. We do have some fun interviews coming and going. Today's is my discussion with Michael Tonkin, as he has added a cutter to his repertoire. He learned it from Nick Tepish, a former Rangers starter who was in spring training with the Twins this year and is now starting at AAA Rochester. Before we get to that interview, speaking of AAA Rochester, tonight they are in Charlotte and they are facing a familiar face on the mound in Mike Pelfrey. So that's kind of fun. Pelfrey in the Chicago White Sox farm system, still working his way back to see if he can make that rotation. He has not looked very good so far. 7.50 ERA, 0-2. So far, and he's getting a pretty good Rochester Red Wings offense. The Wings are off to a 7-6 start. So check that out. If you aren't going to catch the Twins game, you can catch the Rochester Red Wings, at Charlotte Knights on MILB.TV. You've been listening to Midwest Swing, part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network, and now here's my interview with Michael Tonkin.
So obviously, before this season, you were four-seam and slider, right? Pretty much exclusively.
Last year I threw the majority four-seams, but last year was the first year I threw majority four-seams. I threw a lot of two-seams the year before, last year I threw it a little bit, but mostly four-seam. This year I'm trying to work in an equal mix of the two-seam, four-seam.
Okay, because we had discussed this before, where your four-seam was getting so much run that PitchFX was reading it as a two-seamer.
Yeah.
Is it still running like that, or are you able to go back and forth?
It still runs like it a little bit, but my two-seam definitely moves more.
So there's just a little bit of run on the four, and then more run on the two then?
Yeah, I mean, the way you throw, I feel like for me, the way I throw the ball makes it move more so than the grip itself, you know what I mean? If my two-seam moves, my four-seam's still going to move, and just not to that extreme.
So you added the cut into the mix. When did you start messing around with that?
About halfway through spring training.
Halfway through spring training. You said,
yeah.
Did you work with somebody who throws one, or just kind of mess with the grip?
Playing catch with Nick Tepish, and he threw one. And I've always tried to kind of throw one, and just watching him throw it, and I just messed around. I threw a couple, and it actually felt good. And, I've done it before where it felt decent, but then I tried to get up to full speed, and it just wasn't what I wanted to do. But this spring training, it looked good, and I kind of eased into it, threw a little harder. I talked to Eddie about it, and threw it in flat ground. He's like, yeah, it looks pretty good. And then I think the day I threw it flat ground, I threw in the game, and before I went to the game, I threw it out there, and he's like, yeah, I mean, go for it. And I threw a couple that game, and there was days where you know, early on there was days where it was pretty good. I mean, early on I had, you know, positive, you know, I could see it and it made me happy. And then there was days, there's some times I'd throw and it wasn't that good, but it was definitely progressing. And I feel like right now it's a decent pitch one.
Does it just give you another pitch trajectory, basically, or plane to work on that gives you a different look?
Yeah, I mean, it's another pitch for you. I mean, especially if I'm throwing two-seam to four-seam cutter, I mean, it's kind of nice to be able to throw essentially three fastballs. And where the two-seam and four-seam may read on the scoreboard or wherever you want to see is it's fastball. They're two different pitches. And so, I mean, having just four pitches when in reality it's basically two, I think it's going to help me.
Now, when some guys have a slider back up, it'll read as a cutter just because it doesn't bite as much. Does yours? Is there quite a bit of differentiation between your cutter and your slider in terms of path?
My slider probably has more depth to it, moves a little more
down.
Yeah,
okay.
A little more down, a little more side to side. I mean, altogether, I can have a little more room, but I mean, they're pretty similar paths, but I mean, the velocity difference is 5 to 7, if at least.
Yeah. So when you're going good, let's just say on average, what do you expect the velos to be on your 4, your 2, and your cut? I mean, what's the range?
Well, it's hard to say. I know my velocity hasn't been like as high so far this year. I've only thrown twice, but I'm going 3 innings and 2 innings.
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah. I would say mid-season. I mean, last year, what was I? 94, 95 pretty much all year.
And with the 4 and the 2 both?
I didn't throw a whole lot of 2-seams last year, but there's not a lot. There's not a big speed difference between those two. No. The cutter on this spring training this season, it's been 88, 90 pretty much every time.
It's a good different look. So in terms of counts, I mean, is your cut going to be a you need a quick ground ball? Is it going to be a put away? I mean, the slider's probably your put away, but what kind of situations do you envision using it as the season goes on?
I mean, that's something I'm going to learn with it. I mean, right now, I don't see it as a pitch I'm going to use to get ahead. It's just, it's kind of nice to set up the slider too. I've used that before, especially when guys haven't seen the cutter. And, you know, everyone's got a scouting report on everyone in this
shirt.
When I come in and a guy knows I have a slider and then I throw him a cutter and, you know, then I back it up with the slider, it kind of plays mind games with him and that, you know, I mean, but that's only going to last another couple weeks, I'm sure.
Sure. Anybody else on the staff throw a cutter that you can kind of lean on? Because I know obviously Tepish is in Rochester, actually he's pitching I think today.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else you can lean on, or is it just not really matter, you just got to work on it on your own?
I think a lot of stuff is you got to figure out how it works for you.
At your own pace or whatever?
Yeah, I'm sure there's other guys that throw a cutter. I'm going to do mine, I'm going to start putting stuff on.
No, sorry, I'm just bugging, I'm sorry.
I think there's other guys that throw a cutter, but it's definitely it. I think there's different grips and stuff like that. For me, it's just how it feels for me, when I'm throwing it, how it comes out, how it feels, and just that kind of stuff. I mean, even if the guy doesn't throw it, you can help him with it, but at the same time, it's something you can